Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality, and is about discovering your place in this great universe, from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life, and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about giving back, giving forth, paying forward, receiving, and being able to accept. What is it truly all about? So many times people say, oh, I give at church. Oh, I give when I clean out my closet. I used to give all the time when I went to church. Or, you know, I just didn't even think about it that much. I kind of just go about my merry day, and I'm sure everybody's kind of taken care of, as I see in my world. And sometimes people say, I give as much as possible every single moment that I have a chance. What are we talking about? How to be a Samaritan? Do you even know what that word means? So many times I think over the decades, many times people were growing up very entrenched in a religion, and the religion had its ways that you gave back, its ways that you shared with others. We had a lot of core beliefs, and we definitely had a lot of virtues and morals and the way in which the church would teach us to go forward. However, now in the year 2019, we find if you had a room of 100 people, we would ask how many people actually are no longer the religion-based person that their ancestors were. We are changing so much. What do we believe in anymore? Do we believe about our own self? Do we believe in our own success and that the world revolves around self? Or do we believe that we are all in this together and that there is a we, and that when we give, we are giving not outside and giving to someone else, but we are also receiving something to ourselves? Definitely a conversation today. Our guest is Marta Ramos. Her book is Go and Do Likewise, 999 Ways to Be Visible or Invisible Samaritan. Marta, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for the invitation, Dr. Gallagher.
Oh, you're so welcome. Don't you think, Marta, I think that over the decades, the way that we've even looked at self, family, and religion has kind of shifted so much that the idea of giving and receiving has also gone by the wayside, yes?
Absolutely. The giving and receiving, especially when people try to pray for particular things, they kind of forget that this is all about how we praise God by giving to others, and then we receive at the same time we give. Right. And what we receive could be in different kinds of currency. It doesn't have to be monetary. The giving also should not be limited to monetary and should not be limited to whatever we give at church.
Yeah, you know the idea, I think that people say, I give what I have left or I give my old stuff going forward. And sometimes we say, what respect do you have with that you are giving? You know, when people give their stuff, they say, put it all in the corner of the house, and if somebody wants it, let's give it to them. If they don't want it, then we'll throw it out. It's almost like once it's left your hands, you have disrespect for the items. And I think to have respect for something or even the people that you're sharing with is very important, don't you think?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I kind of share in my book. It's that we are all children of God. And giving should not be, just like you said, giving out of what we have, you know, much of, and after we give it, it's like we are looking down at whoever we give it to.
Right.
We're all children of God. So all the good around us, we should share. Mm-hmm. All the talents we were giving when we were brought to this earth, we should be sharing them, not hiding them and not keeping them to ourselves or to only an exclusive group of people around us.
You know, I live in the city of New Orleans, and after the hurricanes, you know, when people need something, everybody would, like, make it very nice. I know for myself, I had a lot of clothing, and a school had been totally leveled, and all the teachers, and they didn't have their homes and their items anymore. So I took some clothes down for the teachers so they'd have some clothes to wear for the classes. And I made sure that they were nicely put together and that everything was clean and everything was ready to go. And I think sometimes when we look at it, we say, are we just trying to clean out our closets and go buy more stuff? Or are we actually hoping that we are honoring other selves? Yes?
Absolutely. We're honoring both the people we give to and actually those things and those talents and that time that we are actually giving. As a way to be grateful to God for everything we have,
right.
And just because somebody else doesn't have as much doesn't mean that they are any low, any less, or any more than us. We're all children of God, and we're just glad to pass on things that others can use. And that is a much better use than just letting it sit in our closet.
Let's talk for a second about what we can receive or what we can give. I know that many times people say, I don't need anything from anyone. I have everything I need. Then along comes a healthcare crisis, and all of a sudden they need the care from a doctor. They need compassion from a nurse. They need the possibility of an open appointment, you know? And when we look at it, we say, wow, those are different kinds of giving, sharing, and receiving. And yet we don't even recognize them as the full circle, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's like, for example, when I was volunteering at the Salvation Army Angel Tree Table, we would have families come in, and I was always moved when the mother or the dad or whoever was saying, you know, 3, 4, or 5 years ago, I was in the boat of the people that are receiving these gifts, and now we are in a better spot financially that we can actually, you know, pay it forward and move, pass it on to somebody who needs it now.
Yeah, I almost, you know, many decades, you know, I'm 60s now, and there's many decades there where I've been on the point of needing to receive. After the hurricanes, we lived in, you know, we were at the shelters in Texas, and, you know, it was like, okay, we need everything, you know. And also, two other times, and the idea when I was raising my children, it was, things were very tight. And at Christmas time, it was, yes, I'm going to, you know, put the kids' names in a box at the firehouse. So I think there's a lot of times when we say, don't you think a lot of times people are embarrassed to ask for help? I think,
or they are proud, yes.
Yeah, but I think also, too, isn't proud also setting yourself out versus saying, you know what, if we truly are as one, proud, disrespect, honoring, and actually giving of love and sharing does come around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think sometimes we say, oh, well, you, like you said before, you know, really people look up and they look down. It's sort of like, can we do this as a lateral movement instead of an up and down one, right?
Yeah, and I see a lot of people, you know, they start thinking, oh, well, I have so many things to do, and I might need this 3 years from now. And it's like, I go, you know, I just tell them, if you're going to need it 3 years from now, somehow, somewhere, some way, you're going to find it. Just share it now. Like, the push through the fear, push through the need to store away stuff. Because there's plenty of places in the Bible, stories in the Bible, where thinking of storing things away for possible future needs, it didn't work, period.
Yeah, I think we sometimes get cumbersome then, and we get into this idea that we have everything and we need to protect ourselves, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like this false sense of security. I think if we live in more of the unknown and know that maybe there is a God, maybe there is something out there that will provide for us and trust and have faith. That's
mm-hmm.
really what we're talking about, versus saying I have control and it's a material thing, right?
Right, and it goes beyond material. You know, it's like some people would say, well, I work 40 hours a week. I don't have time to go out and volunteer. Well, I mean, I take vacation time to go volunteer at different things. Mm-hmm. When I lost my job, one of the ways that I found to keep my mind and keep sanity was to spend some time looking for a job, but also some time going to volunteer at the food bank.
Right.
And that helping others takes the negative thoughts of being jobless for the moment away from your mind and gets your heart in line with giving to others what you do have to give.
Right. I think we're also talking about kindness and gratitude, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
When we
Absolutely.
Are grateful for things, we are able to share, and it's almost like it's an unconditional sharing. In other words, you don't have to think about the stipulations on it, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and being grateful for both the things you receive or the acts of kindness you receive and the favors of God you receive, being grateful for that and also being alert to opportunities to give and give back, it's going to keep your mind in a very positive mindset and keep you enjoying life versus worrying about things that you have no control over.
You know, also, too, I think sometimes people say, do I always have to go out and do things? Sometimes you can do something within your own home. I can remember when my daughter was growing up in high school, and her friends would be over. And there were times that I've always kept an open door policy. Her friends would come over and actually wait for her to get home because they needed someone to talk to. And then we would share and give them something to eat. Because their mother wasn't home or there wasn't anyone around or their mother was always berating them or whatever it might be. But the point was, is you can give of yourself just in presence. You can also give of food. You can also share your shelter, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know.
And the other thing is that you give, and it doesn't have to be the currency. You know, it doesn't
right.
have to be in the same form. If you give, let's say that you are very talented at cooking or you are very talented at writing or speech giving or making somebody happy or laughing, you can receive it back in some other way, like a relationship that you really care about might improve for you, or something you need to fix in the house actually becomes much easier to fix than you expected it to. So if you remember to be grateful right at the moment for any of those things, you're going to keep the circulation going.
Right.
It's going to keep flowing.
You know, I've lived so many different places in this country over the decades, and I'll distinctly remember when I was in the north, I had worked for this one person, and they were so contrite that one day a patient came into my office, and I was sitting there talking to her, and me talking to her was more important than her appointment, and you would have thought I committed a felony by talking to this person, because the person I was working for, like, just pulled me out of there and says, you do that again, you'll be gone. And all I was really doing was talking to her about her husband that had passed away the week before.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we also give of heart and we give of compassion, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. We share, I mean, we are more alike than we are different. And everybody goes through painful moments, and everybody goes through moments where they need some support. They need somebody to talk to them and just and make them feel like they are there and they're not invisible and they are valued.
Right. How about also to the idea of people, just as the employer that I had spoken about, we have to also flip it and not point fingers or whatever about that, but also say maybe that person didn't have things in their past and they just haven't figured out the circle. They're just trying to fill something within themselves. Don't you
mm-hmm.
think sometimes that's true?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people try to cover things that they feel that some kind of need that they actually have by pointing at the need in somebody else, and just kind of projecting, you know, the glass half empty versus glass half full. Even the empty part is different for them versus the other person, but that's what they focus on, just because they don't want to address the fact that there are things that they can do to help their own situation and to help the situation of the other person.
And in your book, Go and Do Likewise, you have 999 ways to be able to just give of heart, self, and the energy. And I think when you read through the book, I mean, some of these, you say, oh, I do that all the time. And I think sometimes people say, you don't even recognize when you're doing it because it is part of you. Isn't
it becomes
really
a habit,
Right. Isn't that really what we're saying is, how can we reflect on what we're doing and say, you know what, I am a good person, I am giving and I am receiving, right?
Exactly. And I have the gifts to give. And I have talents that others can use. And I have time that I can help others with. Versus, oh, it's so busy and there are so many things on my plate and this and that. And no, that other person, they're not worth it.
Right.
Type thing.
Yeah. One of the tips you have is buy from local small businesses and farmers. And we don't even think about that. But yet, I grew up in a very rural area of the country, and we always went to the farmers. We rarely went to the big grocery stores. I think sometimes people say, well, why is that so important? Because it's their livelihood, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
How about the time we want to be able to teach children how to give? Sometimes I think, I've seen it so much in social media, is that we want to have kids give and we portray it as this big deal, you know, and smack them all over social media. Oh, look at my kid is giving. Isn't that great? And the kids kind of get a sense of, they get a different kind of sense about it. In other words, do we want to give unconditionally? Do we want to maybe give sometimes anonymously and be able to say it's coming from the heart versus saying I'm doing it because I'm looking for an outcome or I'm looking for a pat on the back?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you give for the right reasons, you're not really expecting a pat on the back or some kind of compensation or some kind of gift back. And social media, just like you just brought up, is such a powerful vehicle to spread the negativity or spread the positivity of giving. And again, you have to break through the fear. The outcome itself is not going to be up to you, but the action and your intention and your reason for the action is what you have control on. And making and giving is not necessarily something material. You can, with your own words, you can make somebody feel so much better in any circumstance.
Absolutely. You know, I think sometimes, Martha, I grew up always in that phase of just giving and receiving, so I kind of, it's just part of my being. Yet I've encountered people over the decades, and I would say to them, can you save a little piece for the dog? You know, like, in other words, someone might be eating a steak, and I'll say, save a little piece, and we'll, you know, cut it up for, you know, the dog. And the person looked at me like, you would have thought that I was taking something from them, you know, where they had a full dish and a full meal and on their second dish. And it was like, no, it's mine. And I think the idea of what is enough, do we have to overfill ourselves and then still hold on to the excess? You know, I think sometimes it's the idea of it's mine is more like, people have never, ever learned. I think some people have not learned how to give, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, whatever they consider, and that's the whole mindset, you know, it's mine versus, it is a gift that I receive, but it's shareable. And I don't have to take a bigger portion. It's not like whatever somebody else has takes away from what I get, because God and the universe has plenty for everybody, and whatever is not already there is going to get created based on our mindset.
You know, I think it really comes from being a mother also, don't you think, Marta? I mean,
absolutely.
I have four children, and I can always remember kids were fed first, you ate last, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I think that the idea is that you always want to nourish forward. You want to make sure that, you know, stomachs are filled, hearts are filled, and you're just there. So I think that sense, once you get that, it doesn't go away, does it?
Yeah, and also, I mean, when it's all said and done, what do you want your gravestone to read? What do you want your kids and everybody you knew in life to remember about you? Do you want them to remember how rich you were and how many places you traveled to? Or do you want them to remember how much you gave, you know, how much you smiled, how joyful you were through life, how much you taught your children and everybody around you of examples on how to share and how to live a joyful life?
What do you think is the difference between being visible or invisible? Because I think sometimes there's times where, you know, I will see money that will drop down and I'll just leave it there. Or I have someone that will say, well, I wouldn't need to pick up every penny because I need to save, save, save. I think sometimes we say to be invisible. It doesn't even ring a bell in your head, and it's just passive, yes?
It's passive. It has to do with being an anonymous giver, but it also has to do with gifts that are not measurable. Like, let's say you go by an accident. And the first instinct to some people might be, oh, it was his fault or her fault, or they deserve what they got, or this and that, or they must have been texting. Or instead of going, you know, let me say a prayer quietly for the people involved, their families, mm-hmm. The emergency workers that are coming. And the other one is, let me give you an example. My daughter lost her wallet at a grocery store one time. And then they called her the next day saying that this guy had picked it up and turned it in.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave her the wallet. We never met the guy, but what I did was I prayed for him. Whatever he needed most, be it a new car because his car was breaking down, being a new job, be it some relationship in the family, somebody had, you know, vice problems or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed that he received whatever he needed most. Whoever it was. I didn't have to meet him. I didn't have to tell him. Whatever.
Because it just kind of drifts through you versus
mm-hmm.
always holding on to it, too, you know?
Right.
I think also, too, you know, I went to college, and it was a Jesuit college in the 70s. And I kind of, like, went there, phased through, didn't pay much attention to it. And when I went back in the year 2000 and looked at the stones, the cement bricks that are in the walkway, it had the characteristics of a Jesuit. And I said, wow, being of service to others unconditionally. And I said, wow, I really didn't even realize that that's where I had gone to school. It's how I was taught. It's what I participated in and is what I still do. Don't you think sometimes when we do all these different things, it's are we looking for getting pegs in the ladder to rise us up? Or is it just to say, you know what, to look back in awareness and reflection, that really does help your heart feel good, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And then you hear stories about people that saw the light and they saw their life flash by them. What
mm-hmm.
do you want that life to look like, you know? And now that you were talking about the school, that's one of the things I plan on doing the next time I go to Puerto Rico. I'm going to stop by my former high school and drop by some copies of my book, because it's in part their book.
Right.
You know, my Catholic education and then later on my New Thought practice, both, all of them, were part of building the Marta Ramos that is today. So,
right. And I think that's important, too, because even just by giving back in reflection and going back to those places, you're really honoring the place you've come from. In other words, we didn't all just show up here and we were all good people or we're bad people or whatever. It kind of is about the interplay between people, yes?
Yeah, and I don't remember if I mentioned in the book, but in seventh grade, I kind of was very shy, very nervous, and some girls were a little cruel to me when I first started seventh grade. And mm-hmm. at some point, somebody pushed me, and I fell face down on the hallway, mm-hmm. and a teacher was coming down the hallway. And this was my first year of Catholic education. And when the recess bell came back in and everybody came back in, the teacher just basically asked them, "What is it about Marta that you can't stand?"
Wow.
And, you know, that has influenced my life completely. Hmm. The fact that that teacher went out of her way for me, mm-hmm. to defend me, it mm-hmm. changed my life. And a lot of what I do is kind of finding ways to pay back for that and for other people that have helped me out throughout my life.
And there are many of them, yes?
Oh, yeah. And if you are alert to mm-hmm. identify them along the way,
right?
There's a lot more than you would think.
Oh, absolutely. And I think sometimes we call them miracles. We call them, deja vu, or we call it luck. We mm-hmm. call it, isn't that cool kind of moment? But really, truly, they are all the same energy of everyone coming together, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
And people don't even understand that. They think it's just, hey, did it drop down from the sky? Well, hey, how did it get there, you know?
Yeah. It's a law of attraction in certain ways.
Right.
You know, you give positive energy, you give what you have, and it's going to come back to you one way or another in the moment you need it the most and in the way you need the most.
Let's talk about prayer for a second. I know so many times people say they pray. And when I think sometimes people say I'm praying for something and they expect it to come with, you know, a silver bow, two bells, and a piece of holly. And if it doesn't come that way in exactly that picture, they don't appreciate it. They don't accept it. And they kind of diss it and disrespect it. I think the idea is prayer is more of an open-ended policy.
Yes.
And if you can pray, it's really more about engaging of your feelings. And then, you know, grace or hope or faith will show up and carry through, yes?
Exactly. Part of the prayer has to be you imagining and feeling how you would feel when that is whatever you're praying for, you receive. And finish your, and I have the habit because, I mean, the New Thought groups have taught me this, is at the end of the prayer, I always say this or something better. Because only God knows what is best for you.
Right.
You can imagine, you can pray for something in particular, but maybe God has even better plans for you.
Right. You know what also, too, the idea is that if you're praying for something, to get that in one process, you may have to go through something different in the meantime. In
mm-hmm.
other words, I've spoken with someone at one time, and they said, really, I'm just looking for, you know, someone to love and to have a great relationship. Well, what they hadn't realized is that they would have to move. They had to give up their job. They needed to let go of their ex-husband. And maybe they needed to find a different profession to be in to get there, you know, because
yes.
God did have someone for them. It was just all these other things were in the way. So I think when
yeah,
you're praying
what,
for something and something shows up, don't diss what shows up. It might be on the process and on the road, right?
Exactly. And in 2015, the last time I lost a job, I kind of got a temporary position with one organization, and I thought that was the organization and the industry that I would be happy in, and I was miserable. And
yeah.
it turns out that one evening, my technical placement person calls me and says, oh, they don't want you to come back. And I'm
right.
like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So instead of getting angry, instead of getting upset, I was like, okay, so God is basically taking the step for me because I was about to quit that job. I honestly was feeling pretty miserable there.
Right.
But like the day after I started of training myself and saying, okay,
yeah,
God wanted me to leave that because there's something bigger and better around the corner for me.
Right.
And sure enough, an old friend of mine from a job that a company that I work for in Texas, and they referred me to their new employer, and now I work from home.
Right.
At a better job, a better salary than I had before the whole, Kabushko 2015 happened. So.
And I think that's so important to understand. Sometimes when you pray, ask for the path to be shown versus what the end result might be. Because, man, if you just ask for the end result, you can have all kinds of stuff show up, right?
Absolutely, and you don't need to see the whole bridge. You just need to see where you need to put your next step in.
Yes, absolutely.
You kind of have an idea where you want, what you want to see at the end of the bridge. Again, this or something better, but you don't need to see the whole path in one shot.
Mm-hmm. Don't you think also too? In closing, I wanted to talk about is that we say that, what are we giving? And I think sometimes if we give truly from the heart, what are the needs of people the most that really they may not speak about? And that would be food, clothing, shelter, and love, don't you think?
Love and encouragement, mm-hmm, and a little bit of faith, teaching them the way of faith,
right,
teaching them that no matter how negative the circumstances around them are, these two shall pass, mm-hmm, if they keep the faith.
Yes. And don't you think sometimes if you can just give that, it's almost like you've given them the golden ticket?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the golden key.
So simple,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. The Unity Organization calls it the golden key, yeah.
Yes. And it's truly, I think, sometimes people say, well, is it that easy? And I think you and I would both say, yes, it is that easy.
Yes. And you build a habit. Once you kind of train yourself to do it and to think that way and to maintain a good mindset and a positive mindset, it's mm-hmm, going to become second nature.
Right. And it's not about also to getting into heaven or making sure that God's going to be happy because you did a repentance for all your bad stuff, It's more about being able to be one with the person that you wish to be, right?
Yes, yes, and being able to be an instrument of God's love for others. It's not about you checking off a bunch of boxes so that you can have the door open to heaven for yourself. I mean, I believe we leave heaven here on earth day by day. We mm-hmm build it. We build it for ourselves with our actions, our attitudes, and our words.
Absolutely. Well, Marta, it was such a pleasure to share with you today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That'd be wonderful.
On Facebook, my name is Marta Montalvo Ramos, and I do have a website called sharethelightofchrist.com, which I already have started a blog in, and they can comment on my blog. I'm going to try to continue to blog in a post at least a week.
Well, it was such a pleasure to have you with us here today, Marta, because I think sometimes people kind of get off to the sidetrack and they say, love the refresh, thank you for the words, and on we go, yes?
And again, and one last comment is, on the book, the main thing is to get the attitude to help people push through the fear and find ways to be kind to others their own way. I mean, the list is
right,
just a brainstorming session that I did several times. But everybody has their own way, their own talents, and their own ways of sharing.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Dr. Gallagher. It was a pleasure, too.
If you'd like to find out more information about Marta Ramos, again, her book is Go and Do Likewise, 999 Ways to Be a Visible or Invisible Samaritan. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page and you go directly to her website for more information. And it truly is about being able to reach out, share, love, and have compassion for others. Well, she has many different ways that you can be able to say to your kids, let's open this book. What's on the page today? Let's open the book. I'm not feeling so good today. Maybe I can help someone else. She has many suggestions. And you know what? It's really great to be able to say, I never thought of that. I'm on my way, and let's get it done. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.